exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Okay, I know, I've been gone for a while with all these pre-recorded shows. I know. But you know what? I'm a busy guy, and I travel a lot, and it's only getting more and more crazy in my life. In 2017, it ain't going to get any better. I have got so many awesome things lined up for this show and for your eardrums for the next 11 months, being that it's already February. But listen, we'll just get started. We'll have some fun. So I'm going to whip on the phone here Chris Duke from Motors TV, who he and I do the TV show together, Motors.TV. And we're just going to do like what we normally do, which is a live show. So here we are. Chris, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Alan, where the heck have you been, man?
You know where I've been. It's all on Facebook. Anyway, it's, you know what?
You've been out and about.
I'm telling you.
I mean, that's your life, and it was that way last year, but it seems like lately you've been just one after the next.
Well, you know, here's the situation. First of all, Shell has been loving on me with this whole Shell pioneering performance stage. People, we did 150 interviews with celebrities, icons of the industry, people from motorsports, the champion of NHRA and the champion of, you know, if you name it. It was mind blowing. In 4 days, 150 interviews. Chris was there with me on a couple of the interviews. And then I don't know what the hell happened to you. You went and saw the big trade show we were at. I never saw a thing. I never went inside the building.
You didn't even go into any of the halls there, it seemed?
I saw nothing. Zero.
See, I can't do that. I can't go to that show and not go in and see, you know, like these major things like the off-road area, the wheels and tires, the Ford booth, the Mopar booth. I mean, I just can't. I don't know how you can do that.
Well, but I had, you know, the head of this and the head of that and the president of this and the world champion.
Blah, blah.
I know. But you know what? And I'm living vicariously through them, you know, and they come and report to me. So look, at the way I see it is that our reporters for that pioneering performance stage is the president of the company. So he comes and tells us how the company's doing and what the products are new and brings his celebrity, whoever it might be. And I had fun. And of course, Jeff Allen was there from, you know, Skid Marks. He has his own podcast. Mm-hmm. And that dude is wild, man. He's like 6'9", 295 pounds. He's a big man, right? So I will never say anything bad about him because he will squish me like an ant. And I'll tell you, but he's funny.
Fun. What was he doing with his shoes? When I saw him, he had like bags over his shoes. What was he up to?
So SEMA, the Specialty Equipment Market Association trade show, it's all things in the entire aftermarket, meaning once you buy a brand new car, you go and put all your stuff on it. That is the aftermarket. All things in the aftermarket world, including the lifestyle. So clothing, shoes. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm wearing a pair of Pelote driving shoes right now. So what happens is that he works – he's a big shoe guy. He's got a foot fetish or a shoe fetish or whatever it is. And he came every day and he unveiled a pair of shoes. They're like, we're unveiling all the new products, the new cars. He unveiled shoes. I thought it was funnier than heck. Smart. He got a bunch of free shoes because once his big old feet are in there with those hammer toes, nobody wants them. I'm playing, Jeff. He knows I'm playing.
Anyway. No, you're right. There is an aftermarket to the clothing side of things. And I don't know if you caught it on Facebook, but I kind of hooked up with Goodyear Footwear.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
And they contacted me and they sent me some shoes and I like them and we're, you know. I don't know what's going to come of that.
You're making crazy foot love with those shoes on right now, aren't you?
Yeah, they're cool.
I want to see more of those. I did see those on Facebook, on your Facebook page. I didn't see them on my Facebook page. That's the problem. Anyway, so listen, there was so much that went on. We'll take a little break here. We'll come back and talk about a bunch of it. I've been driving on the road in the wild, as you said during the commercial break there before the show started, a Ford Raptor. So I went and drove it and test drove it and all that, but now they gave me one and I just gave it back today. So we'll take a little break. We'll talk about that. I know you've got some stuff to talk about. I'll tell you where I've been, what I've been doing, what's coming up next. But you, everybody out there, are listening to The Drive with me, Alan Taylor, and him, Chris Duke. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The first thing you do when you get up out of bed is hit that streets a running and try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor with Chris Duke from Motors TV. He and I do Motors TV together. You can find it at motors.tv. And our show brought to you in part by Bridgestone. And they're passionate about making tires that you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone. Got to get you into my life.
You do that so well. Bridgestone.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's my thing. I'm a radio guy. So guess what? You know what else? I just got invited back for my 18th year on Live with Kelly on ABC, the number one rated morning talk show. And I'm going to be there for an entire week, everybody. From April 10th, which is, I think, Monday. Don't hold me to it. But it was the week of April 10th. All week long, going to be showing 20 brand new 2018, 19, and 20, whatever year, because some of them are concept cars. Some of them are they're just unveiling it, and it's not going to come out for a few years. But 20 vehicles over that week and get to hang with some cool celebrities and what have you. And then the other thing that I'm doing that's kind of cool, just to kind of bring you up to speed on why there's so much going on. February 11th, next weekend, February 11th and 12th, I'm going to be in Los Angeles in Beverly Hills at something called the City Gala and the City Summit. And you can look it up at citygala.com, citygala.com.
I'm going to do it right now.
If you're living, because you're close enough, you could probably go.
Yeah.
I get to interview some very interesting people. I can't break it yet, but they're celebrities. You know me and celebrities, we get along.
Wait, what's the website again? Because that was citygala.com.
I'm sorry. It's citygala.org. See? Yeah.
This is good that we did this live.
Exactly right. Anyway, it's a very, a very cool event. It's happening at the Walt Disney something or other there. I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to tell all this yet. But anyway, the celebrities are definitely a little bit embargoed. Last year, Sir Richard Branson was there and John Paul DeJoria from Patron Liquor and or tequila, I should say. And what is he? Paul Mitchell Salons, billionaire. He was the guy that was the recipient of this humanitarian award. This year, he's going to be handing it out to the next celebrity. I don't know that I can tell who it is. I know who it is. Anyway, but it's kind of fun. Celebrities galore. I get to do some interviews for USA Today, which is really cool. USA Today Network. I'm working with them now to help, you know, kind of bring our hobby and all the crazy things that we do to the newspaper and their online media kind of mega wild world that they have. USA Today is like my favorite. It's a national newspaper, but they have so much more because, you know, they own 109 newspapers. Gannett does. It owns USA Today. So there's 109 websites.
They're huge.
It's a monster. Yeah. They also own 10best.com and reviewed.com. And it's kind of fun to play with them. So we'll be covering some of that. Maybe some live Facebook Live. Are you doing any Facebook Live by any chance?
No, I'm not. I should.
We should be doing more. I might try and do one. I've done a few. I did one with Henry Ford. I called Henry Ford III. I go, do you mind if I call you Hank? Because I understand that, you know, kind of Henry, you know, Hank is short for Henry. He started laughing. He goes, yeah, I guess you can. And I go, okay, so we got Hank Ford here. Anyway, great guy. I did one with the founders of, third generation founders of U-Haul Trailers while we were at Barrett Jackson. So let's just start out talking about that. So, again, I'll be on ABC in April on Live with Kelly. And I'll be doing the gala on February 11th and 12th, the City Gala. And but where I've been is the world's greatest collector car auction and exhibition. It was basically a week ago, and it was on, you know, Velocity and Discovery worldwide. And we were doing something called the Pioneering Performance Stage at Barrett Jackson. So what I did, what you guys heard over the last month, because we did 150 interviews, I did the same thing at Barrett Jackson. And I got some pretty cool interviews. I, you know, interviewed Burt Reynolds. He was talking about his 78 Trans Am from Smokey and the Bandit. He got $250,000 for that thing. $250,000.
Was that a charitable thing?
No, it was a charitable in his pocket. what he said was, it got to like $250,000. It was like $250,000, you know, the things going on. And he goes, stop. And so they stopped the whole thing. And he goes, anything over $250,000 goes to charity. And then $250,000, sold. So it was like, wait a minute. You said that like a minute or two too late because, you know, they because of the television schedule, they have to keep things going. And they only had a certain amount of time. And right. That's kind of the cool thing. They sold over 1,700 cars, Chris, at Barrett Jackson live auction in 1 week. And it's just – it was absolutely amazing. Anyway, I had fun.
Huge event.
I got to meet Bieber, Justin Bieber.
You did?
Steven Tyler was there and sold his car for Janie's fund. Got like $850,000. We'll take another little break. We'll come back. We got plenty of time. We're back for the live show. I know it's been all taped. I apologize if it bored the hell out of you, but we're back now having some fun. We'll take a little break. You're listening to The Drive. Stay with us. Introducing the newest addition to the Craftsman C3 lineup, the C3 19.2-volt brushless drill driver. A brushless motor means you get 50% more runtime, 30% more power, and a motor life 10 times longer than the traditional brush motor drills. With up to 600 inch-pounds of torque, LED integrated lights, and a Jacobs metal ratcheting chuck to lock bits solidly in place, you'll get even your most difficult projects done fast. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores. Craftsman, made to make. You're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for hanging with us. We are back live in the studio. I'm Alan Taylor with Chris Duke.
And I'm doing air drums right now.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Our show brought to you by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. And we were talking about just, you know, where the heck have I been? I my entire January, with the exception of about 5 days, I was away from home and didn't see my wife. I was gone. 5 events back-to-back. Started like on January 2nd, I left for the Consumer Electronics Show. Then I was there for like 4 days. Then I went straight to the Detroit Auto Show, and I was there for like 4 days. Then I went straight to Barrett Jackson, and then I was there for like 10 days. And then I went straight to a Mercedes-Benz AMG test drive because there's 9 new AMG 43. So they make a 43 and a 63. These are the performance models. There's 9 new iterations of AMG 43. And so I went and drove a bunch of those. And then I went straight to do a show that I do with my buddy Scott Duffy for 3 episodes of Business and Burgers. Check that out, businessandburgers.com. I'm a busy guy.
What I want to know is, was Jan there?
No.
When you got back home?
Oh, yeah, she was there. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought you meant for the burgers. She usually will come to the burger shoot. Yeah, Business and Burgers. It's a fun show.
No, after being gone for 3 months.
You know what? Jan, first of all, you have to understand, my wife, Jan, I've been married 30 years. And all she wanted after the kids started growing up and getting 6 foot tall and beyond and getting married and all that, she wanted a dozen chickens. That was all she wanted. Okay. She's got a dozen chickens. You know what that is? That's a morning. I got to go out in my boots, my robe, hair in curlers or whatever her hair does. I don't know. And it's the funniest thing. It's snowing. My wife is in a robe, gigantic big boots up to her knees, her pajamas. And she comes in and she's got like a dozen eggs, you know, all not in an egg carton, all kind of holding them in her robe. And she's got hay and dirt all over her, and I go, right. You know, you're crazy, but that's my wife. She loves her chickens, and she's got an enormous garden. This is her year. this is her year, 2017. It was kind of beginning to be her year in 2016, but now she's got this enormous garden that will eat her alive and 12 chickens that are eating all the grubs that are in the dirt right now. But it's hilarious. So when I got home,
she doesn't need you.
She don't need chickens. Me. No, she got a dozen chickens. Those are her kids now. And there's let me tell you, there's one rooster, and she said that that rooster started getting mad at her because, I don't know, one of the chickens was having a hard time, and she picked it up, and she was kind of giving it a little bit of love, and this rooster's like, what the hell are you doing? So right. She goes, you should have seen that guy getting all ornery with me. But it's funny because, you know, I mean, at this age of our lives, I'm getting to do whatever I want, and she's getting to do whatever she wants. Mine mm-hmm. entails a lot of travel, driving fast cars like the, you know, 100 miles an hour across the desert in a Ford Raptor or, mm-hmm. or driving the Viper, you know, 175 miles an hour, whatever I do. Right. And she doesn't want to do any of that. So that's the beauty of the world we live in, is it. There's a little something for everybody. But I did get the Raptor, by the way. We'll get to the car stuff for a minute. I know people tell me I talk too much. Believe me, I already know that. The Raptor. So we got a 2017 Raptor. And I get to live with it. And my dad's 89. Took him to the doctor appointment in it. And I thought, this thing may be a little bumpy for an 89-year-old going in for, you know, a doctor's appointment. He's already kind of ailing. And, you know, it's like, oh, I need to take him in a luxury car. Here's the interesting thing about it. My dad says to me, this is really a nice truck. It's so comfortable. He's British. And I'm going, Dad, I got to tell you, I could drive this thing right off the cliff over here and we would land on the ground below and keep on going and it wouldn't even matter. He goes, what are you talking about? And I'm like, this thing is designed to be like a Baja racer. It's got 6 modes in the transmission. So you can put it on rock crawling mode, or you can put it on sand and, you know, dirt or mud, or you can put it on, you know, whatever the different modes. It actually has one called Baja. And mm-hmm. or you can put it on, you know, kind of standard mode, which is it drives like a regular truck. But it's such a beast with a 10-speed transmission, a V6 twin turbo. And if you mash on that gas pedal, you better be holding on to something, a grab rail, the steering wheel, whoever's next to you, because your head's going to jerk back. Somehow, they've lightened this truck up because it's that military-grade aluminum, and yep. they've put a lighter engine in it. So if you know Lotus, the whole theory behind the Lotus sports cars was lighter is better. So they've lightened up this big beast because, you know, the other Raptors, they got the big giant V6, or big V8 engine. V8. Yeah. And heavy. And so now they got the small V6, but it's got plenty of horsepower and it's just amazing. So all I can say is they are not going to be able to build enough of those Raptors. That is going to be the problem. I did get airborne. I told the Mark Fields, the president of Ford Motor Company, I got airborne 7 times. Because once was not, you know, once was fun, and but I thought, well, okay, anybody can do it once. I did it. I got airborne on my Shelby GT500 Mustang. Twice was cool. 5 times was pretty damn awesome. And about the 7th time, I go, one more time. Come on. I'm going 100 miles an hour. And we're going across the desert, and we see these things that I can just, you know, mounds of dirt and sand and stuff that I can jump. And the guy, the engineer from Ford Motor Company, is like, go ahead, make my day. Because it's like he knows it means nothing to this truck. So Ford Motor Company, I know that, I'm loving on the Dodge, or they call it the Rams, loving on those things. They're doing a really great job with those. Chevrolet, I have 2 Chevrolets right now. They're doing a fantastic job. All the trucks are great. Even Nissan with the new Titan, wonderful. But this thing called a Ford Raptor, it's not just an F-150. It's a glorified race machine, is perhaps the finest truck ever built. And no, you know
it's
me.
It's built to be thrashed on like what you did, and take it and jump it and take it out weird places.
That's a big thing for me to say. And I hope that raises the bar for all the other truck manufacturers to jump in. We'll take a little break. You're listening to The Drive. Stay with us.
The Dodge brothers weren't big on self-restraint, and thank goodness for that. Because when you're always pushing the limits, you engineer cars like the available 370-horsepower Dodge Charger with a TorqueFlite 8-speed automatic transmission. It's why Dodge is the only brand that grows as fast as it drives. One drive and you'll discover why Dodge is America's fastest-growing performance brand. Data is calculated using the latest available year-over-year retail vehicle registrations. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
We'll be right back.
Well, this is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for hanging with us. Our show brought to you in part by Dodge. Born Dodge. And I drive a Viper. And I'll tell you what, it's so fun to get into that crazy machine. It's a Viper ACR. It's an American Club Racer. Got a big wing on the back and all that. But I'll tell you what, it just begs for me to take it and go fast. And I'm going to join some sort of special private motorsports club in Arizona. Some friends of mine are doing it. Because I got to get that thing on a racetrack. That's all there is to it. Chris Duke is with me.
Yes.
Chris, Motors TV. We built that thing, actually, to be able to go have some fun with it with the TV show, Motors.TV. You can find it on the web 24 hours a day. Going on 100 episodes. Chris has been doing this for like 8 or 10 years, whatever. And we joined up.
Almost so. 10. Yeah, I'm 9 years.
Crazy, crazy nine stuff. So anyway, yes, I have had a crazy adventurous life lately, Chris.
Yes, you have. Well, while you were out romping around in the dunes, I guess, with your Raptor, I've had a dune to play with myself, but it's not one that I would jump. Or maybe I would do it once, and then Volkswagen might get pretty upset with me.
What do you have?
So through Duke's Drive, I've been reviewing or test driving cars like you have, and kind of giving an aftermarket opinion to them after it's all said and done with my, you know, review of what the vehicle is. And so Volkswagen is now providing vehicles for me to do reviews. And so, you know, one a week, like you've had the Raptor for a week. And so one of the first ones that I had is a 2017 Beetle convertible, but it's the Dune edition. And I don't know if you've seen it, but it actually looks pretty cool. And there's a package that comes with it that gives it a little bit raised suspension and, you know, different bumpers and spoiler and things like that.
Yeah, but, yeah, I heard about this. They call it the Dune, right?
Yeah, the Dune. It's a Dune gray and black Beetle. And this was the convertible version of it.
Nice.
And,
Well, you had it right when you guys got blasted with all that rain.
Yeah, with all the rain. Well, it's funny because I think it was the week before, I was actually out at the sand dunes, and I thought it would be kind of cool if you know, all the planets aligned and I was able to get this vehicle and take it out to the Glamis sand dunes down here in Southern California and get some really cool shots of it with the sand dunes in the background, but that didn't happen. Definitely not an off-road machine like what you had, but a really cool vehicle. And one of the things that that I really liked was the convertible top, which much like some of the other vehicles, like the Fiat convertible, you just pressed one switch and basically the whole top, even when you're driving, the whole top just retracts and goes back and, you know, rolls the windows down. And when you put it back, rolls the windows back up. It's really cool how far convertibles have come over the past few years.
Totally.
You just one button and the whole top is down, but, yeah, pretty cool vehicle. It was a 1.8 liter, so it didn't have four-cylinder turbo. So it had enough power, I would say, for something this small. But it got up and went and was a whole lot of fun. So the fun thing about it is on the side of the Beetle, it has Dune with some stripes. And some guy I kind of joked on Twitter, on my Twitter account, that it would be kind of cool if they had a, you know, Duke edition. Anyway, some guy on Twitter took the picture that I had taken of Dune and photoshopped it and changed it to Duke.
So that's funny.
Been calling it the Duke edition Beetle since then. But let me tell you one little fun thing that I learned about the Beetle. And I think Beetle owners probably know this, and maybe it's specific to the convertible. But I was trying to get into the trunk. So I took the vehicle out, where I normally take photos, and I took photos of the engine inside, outside, got all these great shots. And I'm like, okay, well, I want to take a picture of the trunk. So I go over the trunk and I'm looking for a trunk latch, you know, something to put my hand in, or I don't know.
I know this one, but go ahead.
Yeah. So I couldn't figure it out. And on the key fob is a button for the trunk,
right,
and you press it. And the only thing that happens is the taillights flash. And I'm like, okay, well, there's got to be something else here. And I looked at the big VW emblem on the back, and I'm like, well, maybe that's it, but I don't know. So I got back into the vehicle. I went through the owner's manual in the glove box, went to the last few pages and looked for trunk in the glossary or whatever, the index, and I couldn't see anything. No mention of the trunk anywhere. Anyway, so I went back out to the trunk, and I started messing with that emblem, and I pushed it. That became the latch.
Right.
But it's just so funny that it's so non-intuitive, and there was nothing even in the owner's manual about how to open up the trunk. But yeah, so first you have to press the button on the key fob to unlock it, and then you press on the top of the emblem, and it tilts up, and that becomes the handle, and you open it up.
You
and
know, I just thought that was the craziest thing. It's ingenious the way they designed that right into it, so it could be kind of like, you know, shaved, yeah. You know, like they have shaved door handles on custom cars, and it's just part of the emblem, and it makes you touch the emblem. Which actually there's kind of an emotional connection. I'm touching the, you know, the emblem of the car. So there's there's all kinds of psychological weird stuff. And then that emblem has become like a hidden doorway into the trunk. So kind of funny how everything works like that. But yeah, I knew what it was right when you told me, when you started talking about it, because I thought, the first time you experience that, you're like, what the hell? Right?
Yeah.
How do you get in this stupid thing?
I got to be able to open it somehow, and I couldn't. So anyway, the other interesting things about it were the sound system in it was made by Fender, which I've never seen in any vehicle that I've driven. I've seen Bose and Alpine and a bunch of Sony, but not Fender.
Let me give you an interesting 6 degrees of separation. I helped put that deal together. And I'll tell you how. I used to do a show. I know, 6 degrees. You know, I'm like, what's his name, Kevin Bacon? Mm-hmm. I used to do a show called Cruisin' America. This is like 25 years ago. No, 20 years ago. And it was a Monday through Friday show. And what I did was, and a lot of the folks that know me for years know I used to do shows for Motor Trend and Motor Trend and Car and Driver. I was just looking at my watch. Somebody just texted me. So that's what happens when you have these highfalutin watches. It starts thumping on your wrist. Anyway, and I did a lot of magazine radio shows. And how that all came about is because I was doing a show with a buddy of mine, Richie, who was the head of, at the time, I have to think he was the head of licensing for Fender in Arizona, mm-hmm. in Scottsdale. And what happened was I would take him to the Indy 500. And we'd cover the race, and it was cars and rock and roll, and how they, and you know, kind of the intersection between how cars and music have formed America, you know, the kind of the culture of America, right?
Yeah.
And it was a fun show, and so we would always, you know, talk to celebrities and rock stars and all kinds of stuff like that through Richie. And then my job was to get the cars and get us to drive them and go to these lifestyle events. And so I'd take him to the Indy 500. He'd take me to the Catalina Blues Festival, where I'd meet Muddy Waters or somebody, you know, from God knows who. And I've met so many of these people. I forget all of them now. But so Richie is, you know, at a car event with Volkswagen. And we start talking, and they start talking, and the next thing you know, he does a license agreement with them to be able to make it to where you can plug your guitar in and play with the music, and it'll play through your speakers. This is going back, at least 15 years, maybe 17 years ago. So anyway, yes, that relationship was because me and Richie went to a Volkswagen event years ago, and Richie's still my friend today. Doesn't work at Fender anymore, but his company is Fearless Marketing. And because, you know, that's what he was the marketing guy for Fender. An amazing dude. And I miss him. I miss working with him. Richie Fliegler, if you're out there listening, love you, brother. All right, we're going to take a little break, as a matter of fact, because I just realized a commercial break. Got to pay some bills here. You're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor with Chris Duke. He's been talking about the Volkswagen Dune. Real quick, how much was that thing, by the way?
It's 31.
$31,000 for special edition Dune Volkswagen. Cool. All right, we'll take a little break. Come back. Our show brought to you in part by Brembo. Brembo Brakes, the choice of champions. You're listening to The Drive. Haynes, the worldwide leader in vehicle repair information for over 50 years, is now available in electronic format with Haynes Manuals Online. You get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manuals, but with added features including over 750 color photographs, color wiring diagrams, and videos to help you do the job right. They're formatted for all electronic devices, and over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle titles are now available. The new Haynes Manuals Online are now available at Haynes.com. Well, you're listening to The Drive all across America, automotive lifestyle and entertainment show on the weekend, or whenever the hell you want to listen to it, because that's the world we live in. On demand. I demand. I want it right now. Damn it. Give it to me. Give me it. I want some. Give me some of that. Huh. Right, Chris?
Hey, I just wanted to say on that Dune Beetle, I'll have my review up probably by the time anybody gets around to opening up their web browser at dukesdrive.com, and that's where everybody can go to read all my car reviews. And like I said, the spin I have on reviewing cars is talking about the aftermarket. So at the end of my articles, not all of them, but more recent ones, talk about, you know, what to do to a vehicle, because I'm an enthusiast and I always like to get a stock vehicle and mess with it. It's becoming a lot harder, though, these days with these vehicles, especially like the Beetle convertible Dune that I just test drove, because it's so done up.
I know.
And so
what can you do to a Raptor? What can you do to a Ford Raptor? Nothing.
Exactly.
I mean, well, no. I'll tell you what. Here's what you could do. Here's what you could do. You could put a camper shell on it. You could put a really aggressive-looking lumber rack on it. You could put some fog lights on it. But, I mean, you can't do anything but take it down a notch. Now, I could say that John Hennessy from Hennessy Performance, or Ken Lingenfelter from Lingenfelter Performance Engineering, or any number of other of the highfalutin tuner guys out there could add another 300 or 400 horsepower to these things and turn them into 1,000 horsepower maniac machines, which they do. But you're going to start out with a $60,000 truck and have, you know, the $100,000 in it to get there. And or you can go to Shelby and buy the Shelbyized Raptor, which is $102,000, right?
Right.
So, I mean, if you got money to spend, put it this way, there's an old saying.
Yeah, you'll find ways.
Yeah. How badly you want it is directly proportionate to the thickness of your wallet. If you've got the money, we'll do it. But, you know, that's
the aftermarket for the last generation Raptor was huge. We saw a lot of that at SEMA and still did, even at the past 2016 show. So that's just going to happen again with this Raptor. And that's going to happen with things like, you know, this Dune Beetle. You know, there's still so much that you can do to it, you know, tweak the exhaust, tweak the performance, tune it, you know, give it a little bit more power. There's always something that you can do. You know, and so that's becoming more of a challenge for me to recommend what to do to vehicles.
I know. Well, and then, of course, we know that Dodge, one of our sponsors, they will not tell me anything about it, but is coming out with something called the Demon.
Demon, yeah.
Right? So they're taking a Hellcat, is my guess. Yep.
And they're on a diet, 300 pounds less, right?
So what do you know about it? Have you heard something like that?
That's all I know. That's the only thing that's been stated, is that it's supposed to be 300 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
But everything else that I've seen, it more or less looks like, you know, your Challenger.
Well, all I've seen is that the latest thing that they did is they have shown little bits and pieces of this thing called the Demon, the Dodge Demon. Mm-hmm. And it's got like some sort of a wide body thing going on, and they showed these gigantic burnout marks, and the looked like the rear wheels were like giant slicks, you know.
So, baddies. Yeah, the tires I think are supposed to be different, but yeah, from what I've seen, it's supposed to be the Dodge SRT Challenger Demon, something like that. So it's still an SRT, still a Challenger, but yeah, adding this Demon and having some sticky tires and going on a weight loss, and who knows what the horsepower will end up
being. I'm wondering if it's going to be, you know, yes, higher horsepower yet, maybe 800, 850 horsepower. God knows. I mean, all we're doing is speculating, everybody, because I was literally told I'd have to sign an NDA if they wanted me to tell them anymore. I said, nah, I'd rather just guess. But, I, you know, and then they just released a new Challenger GT that is all-wheel drive. I wonder if this thing's going to be all-wheel drive.
Right. Yeah.
So who the heck knows, but we'll find out on the 11th of April. The 11th of April at the New York Auto Show is when they're going to do the full-on unveiling. Hopefully, I'll be able to show that on Live with Kelly on ABC, because I'm doing it that week, the 10th through the 14th, whatever it is. But, you know, they're not done. It's just like the Viper, the Dodge Viper ACR that I have, the American Club Racer. 13 racetracks, 13 track records. And my guess is that Tim Kuniskis, the guy who's in charge, is going to try and create some sort of a just – I mean, already it's a monster as a Hellcat. But if it – you know, if you go from Hellcat to the Demon – you can only imagine what he's going to do with this thing. So anyway, we'll have fun playing with that until that happens.
You got to love what they're doing, though.
Yeah.
You know, because in a world where and Dodge is doing it, too, but in a world where most OEMs are making these very eco-friendly cars that have no power at all, you have the Hellcat, and then you have this, you know, next generation of what it's going to be. And you got to love them for doing that.
I do. I love that they put all-wheel drive in that car, too. That's phenomenal. Yeah. And then there's, you know, Mustang making the announcement they're going to make a hybrid, a four-cylinder hybrid Race. Mustang.
Yep.
Hi! All right. We'll take another break, talk more about cars right here on The Drive. Chris and I will be right back. Stay with us. Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Well, this is The Drive all across America. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, The Drive with Alan Taylor. Because, I don't know, that's how you find me. That's it.
We have a website, too.
TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com. Yeah. The website for the TV show is Motors, M-O-R-T.
No, you messed it up.
M-O-T-O-R. All I know is there's a Z in it. There's a Z. I always get it wrong. I give up. MOTORZ.TV. I know. Thank I'm just you. Playing with
well
it.
Well done. So, Alan, you've been like everywhere out of commission for the last couple of months or the last month. You've been to sand dunes in Vegas, Detroit, Scottsdale, Los Angeles. I don't know where else, but what else you got? What else do you have to talk about?
You know, all I can say is I think maybe I just give you kind of the over-the-top view of the one thing that I thought was really cool. A couple of things that were really cool along the way. One was I got to sit down with Mark Fields, from the president and CEO of Ford Motor Company. Yep. And I really like this guy. I've known him for like 20 years. He's just gotten better and better and better. And then, you know, like the next day I see him, he's with Trump. He's on national television. He flew from Scottsdale, Arizona to Washington, D.C., and he's at the White House with Trump. And my guys that are with me, the video crew that was – because we videotaped this. I'll let you know when it's out and available. But they were like, he was just with us yesterday. And I'm like, yeah, he's a pretty important dude, you know, talking to the old prez, right? So anyway, it was really cool. And we talked about the new Bronco that's coming. And I squeezed him, and I got a little bit of information about the Bronco. It's going to be a 2020 Bronco.
Oh,
year 2020, yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying my best to get information for everybody. I'm like, I was squeezing his neck. And I'll show you in the video. It's like he ran and the police got me. That's why I was out of commission for a little while. But no, he's really a nice guy, and he gave me as much as he could. But he, you know, here's my feeling, and I guess I'll just crystal ball this for you. My feeling that they're going to either build this on the global Ranger platform that is also coming back to America. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the return of the Ranger. The last time they built the Ford Ranger was in 2011. This is what I'm going off of memory. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they haven't for a number of years had a little Ford Ranger, right? I mean, it's like the perfect. It was just right sized, and the original Bronco.
In other countries, they've had it.
Yeah, but we don't care. We only care what we get here in America, right? So.
Right.
They're bringing the global platform here, and my feeling is because the original, if you look at what they're doing lately, the size of things is really, you know, kind of going back to what it was originally meant to be and designed to be. So globally, the Mustang is the number one selling sports car in the world, mm-hmm. right? And yes. it's because they didn't make it too big. It's considered a sports car. The original Mustang was a sporty little car in comparison to all the behemoths of the 60s, right?
Right.
So the same thing with the Ford Bronco. When it came out, it was kind of a small, cute little ranch truck. And I would call it like a little gentleman rancher truck, right? And they did actually make it with a little itty-bitty bed you could put half a bale of hay in the back of. Remember when they made, you know, it was like a convertible and they had a little half top and – but it was like a little truck, like a little kind of an SUV kind of thing, two doors. And then all of a sudden they made them bigger and bigger because everything in America continues to get bigger. But my feeling is, if I crystal ball for you, I think the new Ford Bronco of 2020 will come out on the platform of the 2019 Ford Ranger, which is the global platform, which by that time, if you crystal ball ahead, look what the Raptor's got in it, a twin turbo V6, a nice little small engine. You could probably put in about just about anything. Imagine a Bronco with that 3.5 liter twin turbo 500 horsepower or something like that in a small platform vehicle. That thing would be off the hook. So yeah. I believe, and I asked him, I go, is it going to be kind of Raptor-esque, or is it going to be, you know, kind of gentleman farmer truck SUV thing? And he goes, well, I can't tell you too much, but I'm reading through the lines. I think they're going to have them in kind of Raptor, kind of wolf in sheep's clothing, and then they'll have the Bronco that, you know, any gentleman farmer can drive, which is cool. Same thing with the F-150. You can buy it as a, you know, real basic little truck for $28,000 or $9,000. I don't know what they cost. Or you can spend $65,000 or $70,000 in a Raptor with everything under the sun on it. So options, options, options. All right, Chris Duke, you've had your freaking hour. I don't want to hear any more whining. We've had fun.
but you talked like 95% of it.
So. I know I did.
I don't know.
I'm a glory hog, man. I'm a glory hog. Watch our show. It is an awesome show. It is called Motors TV, and I don't know how to spell Motors because I don't have much of an education, but it ends with a Z, .tv.
No S.
Chris, I love you, man. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Alan.
We'll see you guys in another hour, or for another hour, right after the news. Stay with us. It's The Drive. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Auto News, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we know that you have missed us because us has not been happening that much. You know who us is? BJ, Josh, and Alan. BJ Colleen from CarBuzzard.com, Josh Hancock from Josh Carr, and me, the big A.
That's the only A you've ever had in your life, right?
Now, wait a minute. It's The Drive with Alan Taylor. Have we got a new title, The Big A?
The Drive with the Big A. Anyway, I know it. You know what? Listen, we have been all running around the planet. Josh, I know I've seen you on the East Coast. And BJ, you're just back from Texas like today, aren't you? Or yesterday?
Yesterday, yep. You know, and then I saw you in Detroit. And
I'm telling you.
Yes, and it's crazy.
It's just January is a rough month for the auto industry as far as travel goes. It's a very interesting month because there's so much going on. But I miss you guys. I got to tell you.
Well, it wasn't that long since I saw you last couple weeks.
Okay, so I missed Josh.
I haven't seen you since 1978, but let's move on.
Speaking of 1978, did you hear that the 1978 Trans Am of Burt Reynolds brought $250,000 at Barrett Jackson?
I was going to ask you about it because I saw it online.
Yep.
Now, they are making a certain amount of examples of a new car based on the new Camaro. And did he have one there?
There was a Trans Am, what would you call that, kind of a clone of a 2011, and it was absolutely beautiful. It was black. It had the big spread eagle on the on the hood. And it was a 2011 model that was built by Build a Muscle Car in Nebraska. And he also does all Burt Reynolds cars. And Burt Reynolds, you know, I think he's always been a big fan of the Trans Am. And I got a chance to interview Burt Reynolds, kind of a sweet older guy. You know, he's I think just like this week he turned 81 or 82 years old. And it was nice to be able to do an interview with him. But, they didn't want me really asking anything. I actually broke the rules and I said to them this. I said, by the way, I mean, if you think back to when you made that movie, can you remember that? And he goes, oh, I remember everything about it. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, 82 years old, what do you remember anymore? And I go, was there real, you know, like energy and electricity between you and Sally Fields? Or it didn't seem like you guys were acting. That looked as real as it gets. He goes, oh, that was real. He goes, that was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life, letting her go. There's a guy,
yeah,
you know,
hated her yeah, for a while.
In,
yeah.
in Life yeah. Review, right there, saying the biggest mistake he ever made was letting Sally Field go. Interesting.
So he was, you know, amongst production people, he was one of the best liked actors in Hollywood.
That's interesting.
Very generous to people. He was, when, if you did a movie with him and you went to him and said, you know, my aunt died, I need a new refrigerator, he would buy you one.
Wow. That's, you know.
I don't know how that connects. But also, but there's going to be 77 cars built on this new car that he's doing. And you know who did one at one point and studied whether he was going to do more was Lingenfelter.
Right.
And Ken did a few cars which showed up at SEMA. And I always love those cars. I don't care if they're built off Camaros. It's kind of fun, isn't it? Or do you think it's too much of a bastard?
No, I don't think it. But does it bother you any? No, it's a clone car. I mean, it's kind of a halo car. They, obviously, Pontiac's out of business. So what are you going to do? It's just like a Cuda. What are they going to do, right?
I mean, it's like saying I'd love to see them take a Mustang and make a Cougar out of it.
That would be easier than the other.
No. Just no.
You got her to pipe up.
She's against human cloning, too.
Well, I'd rather see a sheep clone than see a Mustang come back as a cougar. Cougar. That's wrong.
Well, and you know, unofficially, and I hear this through my sources, that Ford has been looking at what to do with that Mustang chassis for Lincoln. Possibly a retractable hardtop convertible that would be a bit larger than the current Mustang, and I think that would be a lovely idea.
All right, well, hold tight, you guys. I got to take a little break. You're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, BJ Colleen, Josh Hancock, the Wild and Woolly Three Car folks that we hope that you enjoy our conversations. 1-800. Oh, no, I can't give out that. People may call. Anyway, we'll take a break. You're listening to The Drive. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Listening to The Drive, brought to you by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. I'm Alan Taylor. The Drive is, you know, produced by us. And that's why we don't have a script. So we just kind of wing it. BJ Colleen, Josh Hancock. Don't you love that part of it?
I do have that script that Jason sent me, but all it ever says is, yes, Alan, I agree. Yes, Alan, you're great. So you want, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that.
You're supposed to say it over and over again in your sleep.
I'm really not supposed to talk except to agree with you.
That's right.
Did you get that?
I have the same script, but I don't follow it.
You've been at Barrett Jackson. A couple of weeks ago, there was a new car show in L.A. at the L.A. Convention Center called the L.A. Classic Car Show. It was actually sponsored by the Velocity Channel, and it really was unusual in that it was an event where they brought all their stars from the Velocity Channel, and I just thought to myself, who's going to go to this, really? And in fact, a lot of people went. I was very surprised. It's a mix of classics from the Peterson Museum, which is our museum here in Los Angeles, and then some car clubs. And what was unusual about it for me was that there were cars there that I hadn't seen. And usually you go to these things, and so many of the cars that you've seen. So I was surprised. I just wanted to say I was surprised at the turnout. They did a good job. And the fact, and I was saying this offline, that there's more room for these things. And BJ, of course, said, oh, my God, there's 6,000 car shows a year, which is very true.
Yeah, you can't even do all of them at the same time. I mean, there's so many different ones. But you know what? So tell me, Josh, what cars did you see that you hadn't seen before?
Actually, oddly, there was a group of French cars that were very run-of-the-mill cars that were sold in the United States, like Citroën Station Wagon. There was a custom Citroën SM El Camino. You know, just a smattering of French cars, which was unusual. And then there was the Mustang Club, and what was nice about the Mustang Club is that a lot of those Mustangs, unless you've been to the Mustang Club events, there were some oddballs in there, and it was fun to see them. Going to oddball Studebakers, and then some real classics that the Peterson brought. And
but let me ask you something, Josh. Yeah. So it was called a classic car show.
It was called the L.A. Classic Car Show, yes.
Right? And but was there any new cars there or newer cars? So it was all classics.
Huh. Although newer in that there were some Shelbys and some Corvettes.
Okay.
Were there.
So the customized, you know, the tuner crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
And you know, the other thing is it wasn't cheap to get in, but people really wanted to go and see their reality stars from Velocity. I was just amazed at how successful this was. Especially since it was up against the Pomona show, which was the
Grand National Roadster show.
Grand National, which is a very popular show.
Matter of fact, let's talk about that in a minute because BJ's car got broken into, and I want to know. That's something we should talk about. And nobody broke a window or anything. It was an electronic break-in.
It was all electronic.
I was just startled when I read that. That happened.
Yeah, they didn't break a window. They didn't scratch a door. They didn't leave any fingerprints, and they didn't take anything. The only thing they took was the logbook where we keep a record of the gas. Maybe they thought it was a bank book or something. But
right.
I mean, they didn't take anything else. It was just maybe they got stopped and somebody saw them or heard them or something like that. But I mean, even the door was closed. They didn't leave the door open or anything. It was just really, really, really bizarre. So don't take the comfort in at Pomona.
Yeah.
What's the answer to this?
Well, I think what it boils down to is that I think one of the guys even on your Facebook page, not to get away too much from that car show, but at the same time it's a regional thing and we're talking national.
Yeah.
It's nice to see, of course, that somebody's got the total the cojones to start a big car show like that. But what they needed to bring in, by the way, was all those stars to draw people in, and evidently it worked. But back to the electronic break-in.
Well, wait, I'll close with one thing on that. Bruce Meyer was the grand marshal. And again, very regionally, but Bruce Meyer sits on the board of the Peterson Museum. He has one of the most significant collections in Los Angeles, and you see his stuff all over the world. And it was great to see, you know, he has one of the first AC Cobras, $1 million car.
I bet it's worth more than that. But anyway.
And he drives.
Yeah, right.
You know, you see him driving around town in that, and he probably drove it down there. So that stuff is just really fun.
All right.
Let's go to breaking into cars.
Let's do that because, I mean, imagine somebody breaking into your car without having a key because you always have the key in your pocket these days, and you touch the car knows who you are. The later model cars, this is something to be aware of. We'll talk about it on the other side. You're listening to The Drive in the House of the Rising Sun. I don't know if I was supposed to say that or not. And it's been the ruin of many a war. It's time to streamline your tools with the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt cordless system. One C3 battery helps your tool work longer and powers over 30 different tools like the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt hammer drill. The compact hammer drill pushes out up to 515 inch-pounds of torque to handle even your toughest drilling and driving projects. A Jacobs metal ratcheting chuck and an LED work light makes this hammer drill durable and versatile. Craftsman, made to make. Available at craftsman.com, sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores. Ba-ba-da-da, ba-ba-da-da. right, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com or on Facebook, all those same words, The Drive with Alan Taylor. Our show brought to you in part by Bridgestone, and they're passionate about making tires that you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone Tires. BJ Colleen is on the line from CarBuzzer.com. Silly name for a car site that talks seriously about things like we're talking about right now, cars.
That's right.
Yeah. But it's a silly name, and I think it's funny. Yeah. That's the funniest part about it. Josh Hancock, joshcar.com. He is the man that matches the car with the character in all things film and television. How do you like that, Josh? Did I get it right?
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. Nothing. It was a bad joke. Moving on. I'm trying to be really good today.
Yeah, thank you. Because I just got done paying off the fines from all the things you've said in the past. So please.
I know. And I really, you know. I want this to be very clean.
Okay, good. That means you can't speak. All right, let's go back to the breaking into cars. Listen, I get into new cars, and you guys, you two and myself, are test driving new cars all the time, and actually, you know, our job is to learn all this new technology. And I don't know that I would know what to do in an older car these days because I'm so dumbed down now. I never take the key out of my pocket. I walk up to the car. It knows I'm coming. I touch it. And it unlocks at just the mere touch of my finger. I get in the car. There's no ignition switch. I touch a button and it starts. In some cases, and BJ, you're the Lincoln person, you can even touch the transmission. It's a touch push button transmission. I think the MKC or one of those. Which one has the touch button transmission?
MKZ, almost all of them are going to that right now. But there's other manufacturers that are just starting to do it. But it's funny because they're not doing it really well. I don't know if you guys saw the interior of the 2018 GMC Terrain, the one they just introduced at the auto show.
Not yet.
But they went to a push-button transmission, but they did not execute it very well, and that's something that everybody at the auto show was talking about, how horrible it looks. And it's like you pull to put on the park, and you push to go into drive, and it looks like a junky 2-cent switch is, you know, it's just horrible. So it's okay to steal an idea. But if you're going to steal an idea, do it better than the person before, not worse. Did you see it, Josh?
I did. And I'm just amazed that they executed it so poorly.
Terrible. Just terrible.
You know, and it's surprising the rotary shift, which Jaguar came out with, and I was driving a lot of their cars for a long time as consulting with them, and I never quite got used to it. And now that rotary shift is what they put in the Ford GT.
It's in the Ford Fusion too, actually. But
yes,
you know what?
Is.
And you know, I think the more you use it and if it's your everyday car, you get used to it. I don't have a problem with the rotary shift. I don't have a problem with the push button shift. But you know, if you're talking a GMC Terrain, especially Terrain Denali, that's not going to be a cheap car. You can't have cheap switches. You just can't do that.
Well, about the rotary is it is intuitive. You look down at it, and you know you have to turn it to get to your desired way. With the Terrain, it's confusing.
Agreed.
You have to think too much about it.
Well, let me just tell you. I had a 1954 Chrysler 300. We called it the Crybaby. It was a big car. It was a two-door, big, long, you know, 54, you know, those cars were giant in those days. Had a push-button transmission.
And Tucker did in 49.
Right.
You got to realize cars had push-button transmissions a long time ago.
Right.
Especially Chrysler.
And so it's nothing new. Yeah. It's just the, you know, it's the kind of the switch gear and how thoughtfully done it's done, you know, it's put together.
Well,
and
I do want to say what I think the most interesting push-button transmission ever done was in the Edsel, and it was in the center of the steering wheel.
Yeah.
In the hub.
Yeah.
With the steering wheel. And that hub didn't move. The wheel turned around it. And of course today you couldn't do it because of the airbag.
That's true.
So my question is, because we live in this world of these electronic wizardry now these days, you know, BJ's car got broken into. It was a long way to get back to this, by the way.
Yeah.
But I have just worked on a new Lenovo computer. It's called the X2, and it's a 2-in-1. I don't know. I don't even remember what it is, but I was playing with this thing, and I go, man, this thing, it's got facial recognition. It's got finger touch recognition. It's got, I mean, it's like, this is a small laptop, more like a tablet that folds in half. And I'm thinking to myself, if they can do this in a $1,500, you know, highly advanced computer, imagine when you're spending 30, 40, 50 grand, what they're able to do. I believe, and BJ, I think you may even know, about facial recognition with cars. And that's going to change all that breaking in stuff. Am I right?
Oh, when we were at CES, you know, Hyundai had a press conference and a couple of the manufacturers did too. And they're talking about not only about autonomous driving vehicles, because let's face it, that's the way we're going, where the car does everything for you, but also how you get into the car, because really you shouldn't have to carry a key around. If you've got either facial recognition,
if you have
a face, you're okay. Yeah. Or, you know, a thumbprint or something along those lines where you can even start it from your phone. And nobody else can start it, you know, if it's on your phone because you have a passcode on it, then that's the way it's going to be in the future. So we won't even need keys. And the, you know, the truth is that's how we're going to door locks too in our houses. It's either, you know, I can walk up to my Kevo on my deadbolt and hold my phone up there and it recognizes my phone and it will unlock the door for me. So
yeah, I mean,
keys are
already
going away.
Found problems with this in Beverly Hills as women come out of plastic surgery, they can't start their car.
Leave it to Josh. Oh, my gosh. All right, we'll take another break. Come back. We're going to add Carl Brower from Kelley Blue Book and see which one of these guys, if they both want to stay. The more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. You're listening to The Drive. Car experts and love and life, being in the car business. Hope we can help teach you guys something about our crazy industry. We'll be right back.
The Dodge brothers weren't big on self-restraint, and thank goodness for that. Because when you're always pushing the limits, you engineer cars like the available 370-horsepower Dodge Charger with a Torque Flight 8-speed automatic transmission. It's why Dodge is the only brand that grows as fast as it drives. One drive and you'll discover why Dodge is America's fastest-growing performance brand. Data is calculated using the latest available year-over-year retail vehicle registrations. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Listening to The Drive, I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for hanging with us. Don't forget, check us out on Facebook, The Drive with AlanTaylor.com. You know, it's where I hang out. So, you know, it's where BJ hangs out. Although, have you guys noticed, by the way, Josh Hancock and BJ, if people would just shut up about the politics already, it's like, it's just, let's just get back to having fun in life, all right? It's done. Stop. Because then, you know, when they say something, I got to say something, and you got to say something, and then back and forth it goes. Or I got to share it with BJ so she'll say it, because I won't.
Oh, I'll say something. You know,
oh, believe me.
Here we go.
She is the most outspoken human being I've ever met next to my sister.
Only because I'm freelance.
I know, exactly. Anyway, I love you, though. I love how outspoken you are. Josh, we never see a word from you. Not a peep. Not a
I'm
peep.
Under surveillance.
He's smarter than I am.
He's under surveillance, he says.
He's under surveillance.
Oh, that's funny.
Every time I leave the house, there's a drone above my car, so I really don't want to say anything.
Oh, that's funny. So, BJ, you just drove a brand spanking new car, which I know nothing about. I've heard tale of this thing called a what? A Niro?
A Kia Niro, N-I-R-O, not the kind that, you know, fiddled while Rome burned. It's not that Niro, but it's a brand new vehicle from Kia, and it's a hybrid. They brought out another hybrid, and, you know, Kia is freaking on a roll, you guys. It's like they're King Midas. Everything they touch turns to gold. They're doing great. They're number one in IQS with J.D. Power.
That's initial quality study. Go ahead.
Initial quality. They're coming up in June. They'll have sold their 7 millionth Kia in the U.S.
Wow.
I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So they're starting to bump up their green game, and so they're introducing a hybrid Kia Niro. They actually said they let it slip that they're going to have a plug-in Kia Niro real close in the future. But this vehicle is just impressive. Not only is it fun to drive, and it's a real vehicle, it's not kind of funky like a Prius is with the center instrument cluster. This is a real car. And we had the FE model. We were driving around San Antonio. We got 55 miles to the gallon.
Whoa.
I mean, we're talking, you fill up once a month. You know, it's great. And they actually did a thing with Guinness to see if they could set a world record.
Wait a minute. If it could run on beer, is that what you were going to say?
Oh, is that what he wants?
Guinness?
You want beer?
Oh.
Oh, not that Guinness. No, Guinness World Book of Records. Now, if it could run on beer, that'd be great, but more people would be drinking it than put it in the gas tank is the problem. But they actually did about 76 miles to a gallon on a 3,700-mile trip across country, California, New York, and it only took 48 gallons of gas all the way across. So they made a world record, the lowest fuel consumption by a hybrid coast to coast. So absolutely amazing, you know, what these hybrid vehicles can do. And the battery's underneath the floor, so you got a flat load floor in the back of the cargo area. The vehicle's comfortable.
What's it look like? What do you compare it to?
Maybe the BMW X1 might be something you could compare it to.
So what were you going to say, Josh? It's smaller than an X3.
Yeah, it's smaller than X3. It's almost a little bit smaller than a – it's smaller than a Sportage, but it actually has about the same amount of interior room as a Kia Optima. So it's considered a small car, but it's like more midsize on the inside.
And
so
is this exclusively a hybrid? Is there a gas version?
There is not a gas version. This is going to be an international car. Mm. It's sold in Korea. Yeah. It's going to Europe. And so they didn't need a gas because, truthfully, you know, you're driving it on gas because it is it's a small hybrid. You know, it's a 1.6 kilowatt or something like that. So it generates the power through regenerative braking, and then the gas recharges the lithium ion battery pack. So you don't really need to have a gas. But what's interesting about this vehicle, what I really appreciate, and anybody who's ever driven another hybrid knows, this is an actual 6-speed dual clutch transmission. It's not a continuously variable transmission. So it has a sport mode. It's fun to drive. Mm. It doesn't have that whiny, you know, Lucille Ball sound when it's going. You know, it doesn't sound like that at all. So that's Scott's name.
God bless Mary Tyler Moore. We lost her. And now you're over here making noises about Lucille Ball. Come on.
But this vehicle, the FE model is the entry, starts at $23,000. So, I mean, you're getting a heck of a package for $23,000. Yeah. It really is impressive.
Well, I can't wait to see it. Go ahead, Josh, one thing.
Well, I was going to ask about pricing, so she answered my question.
Right. Yep.
So I'm interested because I you know, Melissa McCarthy is going to kick off the ad for this vehicle at Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
And they're getting a lot of attention for this ad because it's very funny.
Okay.
It is.
Hold tight. Hold tight. Carl Brower is like, he's like freaking out because we said we were going to have him on. He's texting me foul things. Let me take a break, get this guy on the phone so we can get him out of our life.
He's unbelievable. So Hollywood.
Take a break. You're listening to The Drive, brought to you in part. Who should we give a little love to here? By Shell. Yeah, we've been doing the Shell Pioneering Performance stage. Thank you, Shell. We'll be right back. Let's say you want to make a DIY repair on your vehicle. Where do you go? Where do you turn for advice? Alan Taylor here. If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider The Source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do the job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Available at most auto part retailers or at Haynes.com. Well, this is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor with my gang of crazy, wild, woolly, hairy people, with the exception of BJ. Actually, you guys aren't really that hairy either, but scary. That's what I meant to say. Carl Brower joining us now from Kelley Blue Book. Josh Hancock and BJ Colleen. I'm Alan Taylor. It is The Drive. Our show brought to you in part by Dodge, Born Dodge. So, Carl Brower, we've been having fun without you, and we hope you don't screw it up for us.
You know, some of us wish we were more hairy, just so you know.
Yeah, it's true. You got to be careful what you wish for. Oh, God. You know what? You guys just make me laugh, and you haven't even hardly said anything yet. But we were talking about the Niro with BJ, the new Kia Niro. And I still don't know what it looks like. And I wanted to ask one final question. Is it a little bit of an SUV or is it a car?
No, it's a little bit of an SUV. It's a hatchback, but it's a little bit higher hatchback. And, you know, there's this thing called the internet. And if you type in Kia Niro, I'm sure a picture will come up that you can see what it looks like.
You know what? I'm thinking about doing that. I'm going to get myself a computer.
BMW X1, which would explain the whole thing to you if you listen
the
to
internet.
Her responses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check out those interwebs, Alan. They'll save you. Trust me.
I rely on you guys to bring all the news to my life. And fortunately, I can watch Carl in China. And although when they dub the words to his mouth, they don't seem to match up. But I know what's going on there.
Yeah, you know.
Carl,
my own little Godzilla movie. It's cool. I like it when that happens.
What have you been doing? Any interesting test drives lately? I mean, I this is the first I've heard of the Niro, right? Is it Niro or Nira?
Niro,
N-I-R-O.
Okay, Niro.
You know, like you hope that Kia doesn't burn while the car's launched. Anyway,
yeah, she already did that. That's the second time we heard that in the show.
Yeah, here we go. See what happens when you guys involve me too late?
That's right.
No, but I would want to throw in there that we struggled a little bit with where to classify that at Kelley Blue Book because it is only front-wheel drive. Its ride height, actually, you know, its overall height or its ground clearance and all that basically are no higher than a lot of cars. And it has like, you know, five doors, whatever, if you count the rear door as the rear hatch as a door. So I think if you look at its basic facts and figures and all that and specs, you would say, why is it not a wagon again? Tell me why it isn't a wagon.
So an SUV or a car.
The reason it's not a wagon
category?
Is because Kia knows wagons don't sell well, and so they call it a crossover. But it's a wagon.
Right.
Would you put it in the same category, albeit this vehicle can be had with all-wheel drive, but it's also available in front-wheel drive, as the new Mazda CX-3 Sport?
I'm betting that has a higher elevated ride height to some extent, certainly higher than the Niro and probably higher than most cars.
All right. I got a question. So this kind of conversation typically is reserved for Nerd Talk, which is another show we do. Because do people really care what we call these things? No. They're like, you know, let me get in that thing. It gets 55 miles to the gallon. It's $23,000. I'll take one. Right? That's more like what they care about. But what do you make, Carl, Mr. Muscle Car Man himself, what do you make of the Demon?
Oh, man. I make that the people at Dodge are having entirely too much fun these days, and it's manifesting in pretty interesting vehicles and interesting launch efforts to make sure everyone notices the vehicle with these, you know, kind of 12-step process to unveiling it through videos. But I think it's really cool. I just think that Challenger has really hit a kind of resonant frequency with a lot of buyers out there in the U.S. The sales have been consistently strong since it was launched. They got the styling 100% right. They've taken a great platform that once upon a time was an E-Class back in the 90s and is still one of the more capable and fun platforms when you drive it, steering feel, ride quality, handling, all that. And they just keep, you know, making it better. They just keep improving on it in every way, and this Demon sounds like it's going to be another over-the-top car from Dodge, which
okay.
That's their job.
That's right. Now, let's take bets, you guys. All right. BJ, give me your two cents. All-wheel drive, higher horsepower. What do you think they're going to do that's going to make the Demon so damn demonic?
You know, I don't know how much more horsepower they can do than over the 700 that they're already cranking out. On the Hellcat. So, you know what? That's a tough one.
I know.
I don't know. You got me stumped.
I know. Well, because I mean, it's is it styling? I mean, is it all wheel drive? And I'm wondering. Josh, you got any take on it? Have you heard any scuttlebutt? I'm trying to get some. I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel here because nobody knows nothing.
Yeah. I mean, they're already doing all wheel drive.
But not with a Hellcat, not with that horsepower.
No, but it's going to end up there. I don't think that's the big draw. I think they're going to go, you know, it'll be another throwback in T-tops or special Targa top or something.
No.
T-top. Woo.
A big wing on the roof.
Yeah.
It'll be a super bird.
Carl, help a guy out. All-wheel drive, 700 horsepower. What are you thinking?
It's going to be all-wheel drive. It's going to make 750. I don't know if we'll see an 8 at the beginning of the number, but we'll see a higher than 707 number on the horsepower, and we'll see a lower weight, and we'll probably see some we'll probably see some crazy advanced like traction control stuff too.
Launch control or something crazy.
Yeah. It's going to have some kind of extra special ability to get that power down. So, and of course, it's going to be wider than the traditional Challenger and have wider slicks, especially on the back.
So what he's doing, by the way, everybody, is he's taking the little snackable content that Dodge is releasing to us a little bit at a time. What he talked about is 12-step launch of this vehicle, which it's launching, I've been told by Mr. Tim Kaniskis himself, who's the head of passenger cars for FCA, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles. They're going to launch it on the 11th of April at the New York Auto Show. And I hope to be able to have it on the 12th on Live with Kelly on ABC. That's what I'm going to be trying to do because I got invited back for another year. 18 years, by the way. But the thing is that we only know what they've told us. So we know I think the rumor on the street is it's lost 300 pounds. I wish I could lose 300 pounds. It's lost 300 pounds, right? If they can give this thing all-wheel drive and make it a little wider, they're going to have what Ken Block has in the Gymkhana series, that Mustang that's all-wheel drive with huge horsepower. They're going to have a demon, and maybe that's what they want. It's a demon. It's like the perfect name for such a bodacious American muscle car, Carl.
I think what'll be interesting is, you know, you hit a certain number at a drag strip, you have to have a roll cage. Mm. I think it's 11 seconds. I think if you go faster either than 11.5 or 11 seconds, all the drag people out there know what I'm talking about. Sorry, I don't know the exact number. But I could easily see this car breaking, you know, the rules of not having a roll cage because of how fast it's of a quarter mile time and a lapse time that it's pulling. And maybe that's one of the things they did. Maybe they took that into account, and there's even an integrated roll cage in the thing now, too. And yet it's still hundreds of pounds lighter because they did some carbon fiber stuff. I don't know.
Well, that would be cool.
Crazy. Yeah.
Especially with the new T-top. There is
going to
be
a wing on the back. Extreme aero package.
You know, don't forget now that the demon name is not a new name either, you know.
No, it's a heritage name. Yeah.
Yes, it's a heritage name. Yeah. So.
Interesting.
So what happened when they released, they had all this talk about changing the name of the car to Barracuda for a while, Carl. Was there any follow-up to that?
I remember that, and I thought it was a good idea, and I honestly think there's probably enough demand in the marketplace for them to do a, you know, relatively inexpensive rebody of the Challenger with some Barracuda cues on it, and they'd have gotten plenty of takers. So I'd still like to see that happen.
I agree.
All right, we got to take a break. We're going to leave it there. We'll keep you posted on this 12-step process to the demon from Dodge. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. We'll be right back with more. If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. This is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for hanging with us. Thanks for caring. Well, maybe you don't care. I don't know. Well, if you don't care, I don't care. Well, then turn the channel. No, don't turn the channel, please. That's my ratings. Carl Brower's on the line from Kelley Blue Book. The man who actually knows what he's talking about. The guy who knows movies and cars is Josh. The one who knows everything about cars is BJ Colleen. And then there's me. I just love cars. I don't care. I'd sleep
in. Again, there was an opening for me that I didn't take because I'm being very good today.
You know what? Thank you. Thank you for that.
Very good.
I got fired from Motor Trend because of this guy, but that's all right. I still love him anyway. Anyway, Carl Brower. So I talked earlier in the show before you guys were on. I had Mark Fields, president and CEO of Ford Motor Company, on while I was on the live stage, the Pioneering Performance stage at Barrett Jackson. We were live streaming all week long while they were doing the auction. And I asked him about the 2020 Bronco, the year 2020, in the year 25. Well, anyway, that's a different story. But it is a 2020 Bronco. Then they're also bringing back a 2019, unless I'm wrong, Carl, correct me, Ford Ranger. And I believe through gathering the information that I have and through listening to Mark Fields, that Bronco may be built on that Ford Ranger platform. And if they're smart, they'll put that twin turbo V6 that's in the Raptor in that lighter platform. Can you imagine what that Bronco could potentially do?
I don't know if it's going to be on that platform, though, because isn't it body on frame? I know it's supposed to have live axles front and rear.
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Live axles on a, yeah, I think it's this thing's going to be serious. This is basically going to be the Ford Wrangler. You know, it's going to be a serious off-road machine, which I think is very exciting.
Well, which, if you go back to the original Bronco, you know, it was a true off-roader. It was built for specs for the Vietnam War because they thought that was going to replace the Jeep. And it had all sorts of features on it because of that.
Mm. Yep.
Wow, I did not know that. I did not know about the Vietnam War part of that.
And then, of course, it eventually just led to, you know, low-speed police chases and all. But that's a whole different story.
Carl,
that's when it went fat.
By the way, while Mark Fields, the president and CEO of Ford Motor Company, was at Barrett Jackson with Craig Jackson, he handed Craig a big, beautiful box that was Craig's, I don't know, what do you call it? I'm buying a Ford GT box, and I can now pick the colors and the upholstery and all the things. And so there's a video at BarrettJackson.com, by the way, you guys can look at, of Mark Fields talking to Craig Jackson. And I'm thinking, how did he get ahead of Carl Brower? I don't know, but that's another discussion. But, Carl, have you gotten that box yet, by the way? Because
no,
I know you're
buying
one.
You don't get that till you're close to getting your car, and unfortunately, I'm not particularly close to getting my car. I'm still over a year out. I don't get to order it till between April and June of 2018.
Man,
sounds
what's
like a long
box?
Time, and I guess kind of is a long time. But I'm jazzed because I know of at least one or two things that are not available on the 17 car that are going to be available on the 18 car, and I'm glad that I'm waiting till the 18 car to get it.
So, BJ asked, "What's in the box? Do you know?"
Yeah, it's basically the configuration, guide that helps you figure out what you want. It's a really brilliant idea by Ford because what they did is they take a carbon fiber box that's got the exact same weave and finish as the carbon fiber interior components in the car. So you now can look at and touch and, you know, maybe if you're Alan, even lick the carbon fiber that you're going to be.
I've polluted his mind. I know I have.
That you're going to be sitting in, you know, that's going to surround you in the cockpit of the vehicle. And then all the different wheel designs, there's little miniature wheels, and there's little miniature, like, kind of body forms in all the different colors the car comes in, and there's even stripes in all the different stripe colors, and you can clip the stripes on and off the different body forms so that you can see what the stripe and exterior color combos look like. And then there's interior swatches for the different interior colors and types of finishes. So it's a brilliant idea by them. There's even a little relief, you know, indented space on the outside of the box that when you get your car, you will get a matching little VIN number plate that will fit into that relief of the box.
They have thought of everything with these cars these days. I mean, we are truly at the pinnacle of all things good with automobiles. And is it going to get better? Yes, it will continue to get better. Go ahead, Josh.
Do you have any you're going to keep your 06 Ford GT?
05
or Ford GT. The intention is to keep it. Now, you know, some people would wonder what kind of lunatic would have the kind of money tied up in two different Ford GTs simultaneously.
You know,
but you, I want to be, you know,
first of all,
who's got,
you
who's
are
got
a lunatic. You're a lunatic, and you know it. Just admit it. You're a lunatic fringe car guy like the rest of it. I got to say goodbye to you guys. Carl Brower. God bless you, brother. Love you, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, he's with Kelley Blue Book. BJ Killeen, carbuzzard.com. BJ, I'm really, really sending you some heavy, thick, very, very powerful love right now.
Aw, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
Just want to say goodbye to Josh. That's all.
After I've been so good.
We'll see you guys all next week. It's The Drive. Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it.